QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, no announcements here either. Essentially, for this evening, we're going to be drawing from January QST, article on page 43, providing power for your pet project, or basically how to power up those little things you're going to build if you're a builder. A lot of good information here, and a good little article of utilizing your ham supply and good battery information, too. All right, I'll call a brief roster here of our normal guests out there, starting with Mike, WB6CLZ.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, and Happy New Year to everybody. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to hear you out there. How about WB6CIN?
Good evening. This is WB6CIN.
You know, and here we are. This is, my gosh, the third. So that means we have less than 365 days till the next. Oh, wait a minute. We don't even want to think about that yet. Okay. How about KA6CIA, George? Nothing heard. I think he's out and about. Must be traveling the country. Let's see here. I don't believe they're up here, but let's try KE6RJ. Harry. And nothing heard. How about KJ6HZS? Mike. Nothing heard. KJ6FIL, Mike.
Good evening, Tom and the group, and Happy New Year to all, KJ6FIL.
Hey, Mike, glad to have you out there. Appreciate you listening in from Red Ones. How about KJ6KDL, Jim?
KJ6KDL here with KDK listening, charging a battery for tomorrow, and looking at my QST for January.
Okay, Jim. A little loud into the mic there, but that's okay. How about KJ6KDK Rosemary?
Hello.
She's down the hallway.
Hello.
I heard her hollering down the hallway. Good deal. Okay, good to have you both out there. How about W6GZI, Frank? Yeah, nothing heard. How about KI6IQA, Kelly? Yeah, nothing heard. I think everybody's trying to keep warm. I don't blame them. How about K6GBL, Ron?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. Happy New Year's, everybody. This is K6GBL from Torrance tonight.
Hey, Ron, glad to hear you out there. Torrance, well, by golly, that's a little ways from Green Valley. Yeah, but you're hitting the repeater really good. How about AD6PL? Harold.
Evening, 86 Field.
Hey, Harold. Happy New Year to you. Many more, I hope. How about N6BOP, Ann from Pomona? Hey, nothing heard. Let's see if Clint's out there. K6LCS, Clint. Hey, nothing heard. I think Judith's off the hill. We'll give her a call here. W6JLM, Judith. Nothing heard. How about K6YNW, Chris? Nothing out there. Normally it used to be W6POO, but he's got a new call sign by accident. KJ6TIG. Chip.
Hi, good evening, Tom and the Nest. Slight change. It's KJ6TIJ, as in Jack or Jackson. KJ6TIJ, and good evening and Happy New Year.
Hey, Chip, you know what? I remember talking to you earlier about that. I just recalled it wrong and wrote it down wrong. How about that? All righty. Well, hopefully Perry Green will get that straightened out. Give you a little moment to talk about that here after this. KD6LAN, Bill.
Good evening, Tom. KD6LAN, we're going to be listening.
Well, good deal. Turn up the hearing aid there. All righty, good. Glad to have you out there, Bill. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Good evening, Tom and the group, AE6CK, and Happy New Year for you and everybody on the net.
Well, thanks, Victor. Hope you can get up here. This is beautiful weather we're having. I mean, literally beautiful. How about KA6ROD, Ron?
Happy New Year, everyone. KA6ROD.
Thanks for being out there, Rod. KB6LTY, Christy. All right, that's pretty much the list as I have it, and a lot of vacancies there at this time of year. Not unusual. Any guests that would like to check in, please do so now. Call KF6Q.
KJ6RAY.
KJ6RAY, Ray, glad to have you out there. Anybody else?
KJ6MLY, Mike.
San Bernardino. Hey, we had a mic out there, and we had somebody underneath you there from San Bernardino. Got you both here. Anybody else?
WA6ITC.
W6ITC, well, good evening, Rod. Always a pleasure to have you out there. Anybody else?
City W6AWL.
Cool, I got both of that. I got you out there, Christy, KB6LTY, and Art, W6AWL. I'll get it out there. Anybody else?
K6YNW.
And there's Chris, K6YNW. Glad to have you with us. Anybody else? All right, well, I know we have a lot of other listeners. I'm glad to have you all in there. And anybody may jump in anytime, comments, questions, or suggestions. First on the list, though, we do have Mike with us. He's back. Mike, I don't know if you have any time. You've got a very busy schedule. What's happening? Maybe a quick little DX report.
Oh, he's back. What's happening? Well, that's gotten dry. The DX report, well, that's another story. Anyway, let's see. Space Weather is reporting a sunspot number of 83 and a solar flux index of 135 solar flux units. You know, things are mediocre. Been a couple of openings here and there, I understand, on 10 meters. And you know, 15's okay, 17's okay, but nothing spectacular. Not like it was 3 weeks to a month ago. But, you know, it's coming. Anyway, that's about it. I have, like Tom says, I have been busy. This is a bad time of the year for us. We get busy. Anyway, so DX is... Nothing here. I just haven't had time to play. Did a little bit on straight Kenai CW using the Tentec PM3. Did a lot of listening and realized that I'm spoiled with my other radio. Stations all run together and it's really hard to deal with. So did more listening. Selectivity wasn't good, but played around, had a good time. Anyway, back to you, Tom.
Hey Mike, real quick there. Would you say your K3 has really got? That's one of the many features, but it's got really good selectivity.
Yeah, I don't have the very, very narrow CW filters in it. I go down to 5 kilohertz, and yeah, very good. I mean, on CW, second to none that I've used, and I'm sure that there are people that will say different, but yeah, very nice for CW. I like that.
Okay, another real quick there. I don't know if you know, but W6VO Brad also has a K3. I think he's got more goodies than you, because his is probably, well, never mind. I don't even want to talk about what those radios cost. But anyway, good deal there. Well, anyway, if there's anybody else out there with any DX, please come back now before we move on. Okay, hearing none. Yeah, tonight, this evening, kind of cool little thing here, nothing really complex. If you're just a ham radio operator, not a problem. If you're getting that urge to build one of these little things, I don't know, if you look through the QST magazines, any of the issues have some pretty cool little things, good little tech corner stuff on many of these issues, which is good. A lot of that information, too, is available on the ARRL site. Anyway, Mike, this is something you suggested. It's pretty cool. I think they're showing a good little 25-amp supply. Anything you would like to add to this as we move ahead with this article?
Yeah, just like everything, you know, there's other ways to skin a cat. There's a lot of good suggestions in here, and I'm sure the group here will come up with lots of other suggestions. But yeah, good place to get started for everybody, not only for projects and such, but just for powering your station. Really good article. Well, let's get into it, Tom.
Yeah, if you're a builder. Or even just an experimenter, or you'd like to get into this and you don't even know where to start, listen up this evening. This is where we're going to kind of expand a little bit on the power supply, and that's mainly the main thing. If you're going to build something on your workbench there, electronics-wise, it's going to need electricity. And most of the stuff you're going to do, especially these days with transistorized stuff, it's going to be low voltage, and a lot of stuff is designed, or a lot of kits, even are designed around 12 volts, pretty much the standard, not the standard, but it's a good standard. Mike, I see here in his little diagram also, if you're going to power a couple of things, you've got a DC power strip. That's pretty cool. And I know those are available with Anderson Power Poles, but I think there's a lot of different manufacturers that do that. Have you ever seen one of those? It's pretty cool. It's kind of like a power strip you plug 110 in. But it's not 110, it's just DC volts with a little plus and minus terminals. Pretty cool. Back to you, Mike.
Really cool. And there are different, I think that one that they have there looks like an MFJ 1129. About $108 for that turkey. But there's so many different kinds and so many different ways to go. I mean, even converting an old electrical enclosure, and bringing it out to power poles. Also, we should mention, speaking of power pole, a lot of your MCOM, a lot of your emergency communication equipment is set up to plug directly into power poles. So that's the good way to lean on that. Back to you, Tom.
And KF6Q in the group, Tech Tuesday. That's kind of a neat thing. I think also the other option, of course, of having a power supply like that is, batteries. And I think probably the most popular battery out there is the alkaline, of course. Now, Mike, there's batteries. Okay, batteries. There's primary batteries and there's secondary batteries. Did you read through that? What's the difference there? Why are the secondary batteries not so good or what? No, they came in second.
Prime primary batteries carry the charge. Primary batteries, I got to get it out, are charged when you get them. You know, you go down to the stores and buy primary batteries, like your, you know, your right-off-the-shelf AA, AAA, and stuff you buy at the supermarket and also other places. Secondary batteries, well, you get them home, you charge them, and you put the charge into the battery, and you keep doing that over and over again for some batteries quite a while. How's that?
Yeah, exactly. Basically, primary batteries is simply the technical name for non-rechargeable, as it shows there on 43. So basically, yeah, your flashlight batteries you buy, your throwaway, your ever-ready, you know, batteries or Duracells or whatever that you buy, basically most of those are non-rechargeable. When they're dead, they're dead. Dispose of them properly, of course. But now secondaries are called as such, and I don't know why, are rechargeable. Your car battery is a secondary battery. Lead acid batteries are secondary batteries because they're chargeable. Your HT has either a nickel metal hydride or possibly a nickel cad if it's older. Those are rechargeable and stuff like that. So these, and different batteries, of course, have different little quirks to them. Neat little chart. Mike, what do you think of that chart they got there for alkaline battery?
Well, I think the best buy for your money looks like a D-cell, the old-fashioned D-cell. We used to have a little four battery little charging stations and racks that we would use the D-cells. And, yeah, I think I still have some of those kicking around. The old flashlights used them. I think the best value for the money is the old D-cell, but they have issues. They're heavy.
Yeah, now a little point to be made here. We're looking at this chart, and if you don't have this article in front of you, of course you don't know what we're looking at. Basically, the AA battery alkaline, which we use a lot of, powers up a lot of our stuff. This is the throwaway battery. This is the one that once it's, you know, run out, it's no good. You're not supposed to recharge these or even try to. You're going to have some very serious problems if you do. But anyway, the D-cell in alkaline, same chemical makeup, basically has six times the capacity. So moving up from that tiny little AA to a D-cell, both have the same voltage. The D-cell has six times. So if you're thinking about strapping a bunch of these together and putting them into that little power plug on your HT, it would definitely last a while. Of course, once it's gone, it's gone. Mike, anything else to add? I see there's quite a different range there with all the 9-volt, 6-volt lanterns are also pretty good. Speaking of that, I think I need to buy some for ours are almost all gone. Anyway, back to you, Mike.
The QRP stations run with, packs of the D-cells and a couple of little lantern batteries and do quite well on a picnic table, having fun with just one of the old cheapy batteries.
LCS.
Hey, there he is, Clint. Good evening, K6LCS. We did not do the satellite report yet because, well, we didn't have you. Are you ready?
Well, I'm interested in the battery situation, and I can tell everyone who's listening how they can double the length of their existing battery packs magically right now. Turn your power on your handheld down to half power. I kid you not. If you're not making it at 2 watts, you're not going to make it at 5 necessarily. If you can see the repeater like I can, turn it down to low power. There's instant savings in your battery life. And if you're in a noisy environment, get an audio accessory and turn the volume down. There, you'll triple your battery life in between charges. Just one thing I found out about the Eneloops, the little rechargeables. If you don't use an Eneloop charger or one that they recommend, they're not going to warranty your Eneloop cells. Just something to keep in mind when you get to that portion of the net. K6LCS.
Good information there, Clint. And Clint, I know where you live. Anyway, because I used to be about a mile or less than a mile as the crow flies. And we do have crows there, too, as you know. And essentially, from using a half a watt with a rubber duck in my driveway, but not in the house, could pull up the repeater. So that's basically maybe, as the crow flies, maybe half a mile from your house there. So doesn't take much. Doesn't take much. Yeah, and that's a good way to let them last. Anyway, let me reset here real quick. What I did do is this little chart here that they have in QST says they got their data from this website, www.techlib, as in a library, just but it's all one word, techlib, abbreviated, .com. Pretty cool site. Went there, a lot of good information. If you click on the reference area, of course, you'll be able to pull up this chart we're looking at for batteries. A lot more information there, and tons of projects. Let me reset. Anyway, so good website there. The author of the article, which is Joel Hellis, W1ZR, definitely a good source of information there. There's a much more information on that site, too, so check that out. Basically, www.techlib.com, and a lot of good stuff there. And anyway, well, Mike, we have actually quite a, besides the alkaline and lithium, lead acid, one thing I think we moved away from nickel cad is that cadmium is pretty nasty stuff, I guess, to dispose of. Is that correct?
I know most of your cities have hazardous waste programs for residents, and yeah, that is that definitely does not go in the trash can. That goes to your hazardous waste collection site.
Little thing here too, if you're out looking at batteries for something, be advised. Okay, there are lithium batteries, and there are lithium ion batteries, and there's a difference. The lithium batteries are a primary cell, basically. They're based on the same chemistry, but when the lithium batteries are dead, they're dead, and you're going to get rid of them. Now, lithium ion batteries, the name given to the ones that are rechargeable, very, very good, still pretty pricey, a lot of technology coming down the road that way. And, of course, I think I use, and a lot of people use, nickel metal hydrides, pretty much a standard. Took the place of NiCads, pretty much same cell voltage, and well, you can get like 2,000 milliamp hours to up to or more from those little cells now. Pretty good. Let me reset. Anyway, as we're getting into this and you're providing power for your little projects, if you're out there and you want to do a little bit more than build antennas and you want to get more into building some electronics and you've never done this before, this is my suggestion. Go get a kit, a real simple kit. They used to carry them at Radio Shack. I know they do have an electronics warehouse still. There are definitely a lot of places online. A kit is real simple, usually to build. It's something to get you started. All the stuff is there. You might need a soldering iron or something like that. And it's going to give you that sense of accomplishment to build something. It'll get you started in the right direction, some good practices. And, of course, you're going to have to power that thing up. So you're going to either power supply or batteries. Mike, anything else to add at that point?
Other than Heath Kidd is supposedly to be starting up this year in production with some smaller kits, a good place to look and start if they live up to their reputation. Very good kits, very well thought of, and they're going to supposedly do some retro kits using the old blueprints, but we'll see it when it happens.
Yeah, Roger that, and there's rumors that Radio Shack may be changing their direction too, kind of back in the old way, and we'll see what happens with that. But kits are a good way to start out, or if you are a seasoned ham, we have a lot of those at this time of year for Christmas, right? And you've got maybe a grandson or a nephew or a cousin or somebody who wants to get started, but they really, you don't really have the time to spend with them as you'd like, buy them a kit. Get them something very simple. A lot of good stuff out there. Get some started in the right direction, and then there's a lot of good books out there to go from there. So it's kind of like a kit in itself is good to have an Elmer handy, but, you know, a good quality kit also is an Elmer in itself. Well, anyway, Mike, I'm not sure how much more we can expand on this. It's pretty much a pretty good article, though. Good two-pager. And good stuff to have out there. Love the QSTs. They always got good stuff. And anyway, anybody else, any questions out there or anything to add? Kind of open for the topic with supplies and batteries and things. Please come back to KF6Q.
KJ6KDL.
WL.
Okay, in order, Jim, we got you first, and we got Art right after you. Go ahead, Jim, KJ6KDL.
Yeah, just a note on two topics. The alkaline battery capacity chart, in regards to nickel-cadmium rechargeables and nickel-metal hydride rechargeables, the maximum current or the current capability of the batteries when you buy them can vary quite a bit. We found pin light batteries can go from, these are the NiCads, can go from 600 milliamps to 1.5 or 1500 milliamps. So be careful when you look at them, because sometimes the cheaper battery is the less capable. And for those kits, for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of the kits that PPG turned into, but I've seen them at Fry's, Orvac in Fullerton, and Marvac in Costa Mesa. So anybody's interested in looking for one of those quick solder kits, some of them $30, you know, some of them go up. Those are good stores to look at. KJ6KDL.
Oh, good deal there, Jim. Yeah, I don't know if it's Ramsey. Ramsey has good kits out there. If you're looking for a place that carries that, you can always Google up Ramsey and electronics and kits, and should get you in the right direction. W6AWL, go ahead.
Hey, Thomas, good evening. I'm going to go back to a comment that Mike made a little bit earlier that needs to be expounded upon. He said that the Anderson parapoles are a standard for emergency. They are the standard for emergency communications throughout San Bernardino ECS, throughout Racy's, every place you go. You need to charge them up, keep your parapoles on there, get some rapid clamps. You know, you run from vehicle to vehicle, you've got 12 volts that you can always charge from. But that's not just a small statement that he made before. I appreciate that. Back to you, Tom. W6AWL.
You know, and one thing also, anybody who knows anybody who's out there in the construction industry or any type of field out there, we always know we have adapters, because there's so many different configurations of power cords well beyond what we have in our house. Adapters themselves are a very good thing to have if you've got power poles, if you've got other things, other connectors out there, and you've got, you know, you're wondering, like, well, what if I had to do this? Well, like Art was just saying, set up an adapter to go from your power poles with some alligator clips to go to a 12-volt battery. One good application there, like, okay, well, now I can hook it to this 12-volt battery if I need to. That's a lot. There's a lot of different things there, a lot to expand upon, but, yeah, just let your imagination actually wander with that and what else you would have to hook to. Possibly even into a cigarette lighter plug. I've seen those, and I think some of these are actually commercially available. Anyway, good point there, Art. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there, any comments or questions? Go ahead.
LCS, of course.
The sad guy. Go ahead, Clint.
Guys, I'm not retentive in any manner, but I've even power pulled my wall warts as long as they're 11 to 13 volt DC going into whatever they're going into. But I've power pulled those just in case there is no power and I need to hook it up to my 12 volt deep cycle marine battery. So if you ever come to my house and see my Yaesu or ICOM or little wall warts, they'll have power pulls in them just for that reason. When a big one hits and I need 12 volts into it, there it is. Great information, Tom. Another great, I apologize, I had to dip out, but cadex.com, C-A-D-E-X, in Canada, has a book online, free, batteries in a portable world. It's a necessity if you are serious about portable power. Kadex.com, C-A-D-E-X.com, K6LCS.
NW?
Yeah, one quick second there, Chris. Yeah, and you know, Quint, I actually emailed, I forget the guy's name, the owner of Kadex a year ago. We still are working on our Tech Tuesday website. He gave me full permission to reprint on our website any of his information he has there. Great stuff. Yeah, and he does. I mean, if there's anything about batteries you ever would want to know, it's there. It's probably the prime site. Thought I was the only one who knew about that. How about that? Well, there's two of us. Now there's a whole bunch of us. Yeah, good site. A lot of good stuff there. They actually sell a lot of equipment. And also one more thing to add on these adapters that you make up more than one in case one fails. A couple. Redundancy. Always great to have. Chris, go ahead. YNW.
Yes, just a quick comment about cigarette lighters. They often can't handle high power on a base mobile. K6YNW.
Yeah, I think most cigarette lighters are good for about 20 amps. At that point, the fuse will blow. Typically in most vehicles, so you got to make sure you are at least, I use the 50% safety factor. Don't use anything more than 10 amps to power from there, and if you do, make sure your wiring is adequate. You have to be very careful, so inline fuse is always good in your equipment just to protect all that. Anyway, good deal there. Anybody else, any comments or suggestions or questions? Go ahead.
IQA.
Kelly, IQA, glad to have you out there. Go ahead.
For anybody who's never seen a Anderson power pole connection assembled, when you've got the specific Anderson crimp tool, this is a sight to behold. It's just like... it's amazing how well the crimp fits fits the wire and everything. You make these things up, and just seeing one set be built up will make a believer out of you. And they also, I don't know if you guys touched on it, I just tuned in a few minutes ago, but the same company makes a thing called a rig runner, and it's a power strip, much like the ones that you put underneath your desk for your computer, and it's got several ports. And they're all individually fused, and then you wire that into a battery or a power supply. So if you've got three or four things on the same desk that all need a power supply, you can use one big power supply and plug several Anderson power poles into this power strip called a rig runner. KI6IQA.
Yeah, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday. Well, Kelly, that's pretty cool, and I think the one main thing you mentioned there is that they're all individually fused, so if one device, for whatever reason, shorted out, it wouldn't take the whole system down. It'll just blow that one individual fuse. That's pretty cool. That's actually eliminating a huge possible problem that could exist there. And, Kelly, I think the crimper also talked to a lot of people, and I think we all agree with this. The crimper is really the way to go. If you try to solder, I mean, you can solder wires to the Anderson power poles. Problem is this, if you do, you're going to get solder probably in the wrong spot, but also it's going to travel up your wire. You're going to get this transition from a solid chunk of soldered wire to multi-strand. And what's going to happen with a little bit of working back and forth at that point, it focuses all that energy in that point, and eventually it breaks off. And that's no good. The crimper is the way to go. They're a little pricey. Best thing to do if you're out there with a few friends is go in on one or possibly find somebody who has one. Good information, though, Kelly. Appreciate that. Thanks a bunch. Anybody else out there, any other comments? Please come back.
Bye, Al.
I'm sorry, station. Didn't get all I got was the last two letters of your call.
Yeah, bye, Al.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. Go ahead. Yes.
Like Kelly was saying, that
crimping tool is the number one tool to have for doing the Anderson power poles. And, you know, that's the best tool for putting those together. Also, that Ridge Runner, like he was saying, it has the different sections on it where they're all fused. And the one that we've got up there also has the, how do you say it, the USB port for plugging in your cell phones and stuff like that also, which works really great. We've got one up there in a box to where we can charge our cell phones, run radios, run just about anything we need to, and does everything we need at the moment. KJ6FIL, back to you.
Good deal there. Yeah, that's pretty cool too. And I've noticed over the last few years, finally cell phone manufacturers have gotten their head out of their cell phone box, and actually we've got almost a unified power connector going pretty close to that little mini USB connector. So don't know why they didn't do this a long time ago. I really don't. Anyway, but that's good. Glad to hear that. Yeah, a lot of good stuff out there, and like I say, if you have that on your bench or whatever purpose, you know, it could be getting its juice from a regular power supply you plug in, or a 12-volt battery if that's the case. Either way, whatever it is, and you just don't forget about the fuses, anything on some of this stuff. You start getting some of these big lead-acid batteries out there for backup, a lot of power there. I mean, explosive power, so you got to be very careful. Anybody else out there, anything to add, whether power supplies, batteries, and systems? Basically, for just about anything, we're talking about for an event supply, but it could apply anywhere. Please come back to KF6Q.
KJ6BOI.
Yes, go ahead.
Good evening. The name here is Jeffrey. I'm down in 29 Palms. It's a great net. You guys are a great subject. You're on your net this evening. Talking about the power poles in my go bag, I was able to find some CFLs or compact fluorescent lights that run on 12 volts at a camping supply. It was a Camping World. They're for the RV world, but I have the compact fluorescent light bulbs in my go bag so I can have light at the end of my power. And I used Anderson power poles to connect those as well. But once again, a great net.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I try to do this every Tuesday, 1900 hours. Sometimes we're over by 8. Sometimes we go over. Sometimes a little bit under. Also, too, just FYI, we all know these little halogen spotlights, work lights that are available out there fairly reasonably cheap. Did a little research, you know, those are available and probably for RV purposes. And a 12-volt version. Probably a lot of power going to that thing, though, at 12 volts. So, anyway, anybody else out there with anything else to comment on our power supplies and Anderson poles? Please come back to KF6Q.
File again.
Fly, Mike.
I think that was Kelly after him. Go ahead, FIL first. Go ahead.
Okay, another thing I wanted to comment on also on that Ridge Runner. We've also got a battery minder by Ridge Runner that monitors the battery voltage and will also actually turn off the voltage to the Ridge Runner if you run your batteries too low. Back to you, KJ6FIL.
And I think that's very important, especially if you're going to use that battery to start the vehicle. Yeah, I've seen a few of those. I know they're used a lot, and a lot of the first responder vehicles, pretty cool thing. Good thing to have. It's one of those toys under the hood. That's cool. I think that was Kelly after you. Is that Kelly? Go ahead. I think that was you in there.
There was someone else on top of Mike and then me. Go to the other station first.
Okay, copy that. Other station, please come back.
KJ6MLY, Mike.
Yes, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm new to the hobby. I was just curious as to what exactly an Anderson power pole is.
Well, the Anderson power pole, and I got to tell you, if you can, if you have access to a computer, Google it, Anderson power poles, and probably be the best thing to visually see. But essentially, it's a, I think there's three different amp styles for different power amounts. They're basically an inner female-male connector, color-coded red, color-coded black, really great, pretty much a standard now for connecting 12-volt stuff. Not the only way, but getting pretty common out there, a lot of good stuff out there. Anderson Company made it, pretty cool stuff. Do a little Google on it, and yeah, it's the way to connect your red and black wires that are running around to other red and black wires running around. Simplified there. Glad to have you with us, Mike. I hope you enjoy the hobby.
Thank you much. KG6MLY.
And thanks for listening. Listen up again next week, and we'll have something else totally different. Hopefully still a lot of fun. Go ahead, Kelly.
Yeah, the rig runner, along with having individually fused ports, then it also has a mother port, or a, fuse. Depending on the size of the one that you run, I think one of the ones at Keller is, the main fuse is a 40, and that's the little flat fuses, the more modern flat fuses, as opposed to the cylindrical glass fuses. there was one other thing. The power poles, the thing that I found cool was that they kind of have like a little snap when you put them together. And if you do it right, you can't reverse black and red. You can only plug them together the correct way, so you can't short something out that way. Yes, Tom, 15, 30, and 45 amp. They're just too neat not to know about. KI6IQA.
You know, and one thing here, especially if you buy a pack of these, you're going to wonder what these little round metal dowels are, tiny little pins. After inspecting the power poles, you can actually make a modular plug. I mean, I guess you're not limited to two. They'll stack in all dimensions and in all different ways. You could make a six-prong connector if you wanted. I don't know why you would. Maybe if you had to pull more than, say, 45 amps, then you wanted to split it up the load or something. There's a little dowel, and you'll look as if these, after you slide these power poles together, not so much the connector, but say you've got a red and a black coming off your radio, and you don't want them just, you know, flopping around in the breeze there, you can actually connect the two together with this little dowel. Kind of cool. Another little feature there. It's optional, of course. The bad part about it is once you dowel those together, of course, you could take it apart. If whatever you're plugging it into, say if it's into a panel or a strip that's not set up the same way, then you're going to have a problem. So it's an option. But anyway, that's one other thing out there that they have available. Anyway, anybody else, any questions or comments, please come back.
KJ6KDL.
6AWL.
Okay, in the order, Jim first, KJ6KDL, go ahead.
For those who have the January QST and you're interested in the Anderson Power Pole connectors, for $10 more, they're showing on page 62 is an Andy Crimp Pro crimping tool that's made for Anderson Power Pole connectors, but you can buy dies to go in and crimp just about anything else, N-types, PL-259, so you can make a versatile crimp tool with that. Of course, it all adds up.
Yeah, now, you know what, that all depends on just exactly how much you're going to do out there. I know I've got a couple of crimpers, hex crimpers for, different ferrules and whatever for, BNC and F connectors and stuff like that. So it all depends, but that's a good tool if you're really going to get involved and got the money to spend. That's a good deal here. Actually, looking at this here, too, it says there's 15, 30, 50, and 75 amp connectors. Must be something different. Wow, okay. Anyway, have to read that. It's on page 62. Kind of cool. Yes, Art, go ahead. W6AWL.
Okay, Tom. Yeah, great information. The Andersons are the standard. We brought it up. It's ECS, it's Racy's, it's wherever you go. Let me add one thing to that. The 30-amp Andersons are the standard. Those are the size that you want to put on there, irregardless of what your radio draws. Put a line of it into before your factory connector. Anyways, wherever you can go, whatever we have out there through our trucks and our equipment, there'll be a 30-amp connector that you can connect to. All right, Tom. Good information. Have a great evening. W6AWL.
Hey, thanks, Art. And let me correct myself here. I think this was a misprint going a little bit further down. Yeah, but they do have 15-amp, 30-amp, 45-amp, as I believe Kelly stated. And this is something I didn't know about at all, 75-amp. And they have a picture of this stuff, and the 75s, of course, are pretty big. I really don't know if I would want to have to use a 75-amp connector, pretty heavy wire, for 12 volts. But anyway, it's I guess that's something out. I didn't know that was out there. Just saw that in the article. Anyway, good stuff. Anybody else out there? Any questions or comments? Please come back to KF6Q.
Yeah, Bile again.
Glad to have you out there, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not sure about all manufacturers, but I'm running a Yaesu, and all of our Yaesu radios have a standard plug-in on them, and they also have the adapter that plugs into the Yaesu radio, and which has already got the Anderson power pole on the other end of it. So you just get the adapter and plug it into your radio, and it plugs right into Anderson.
Well, that's pretty cool to know. I didn't. It makes sense that he would have that. That's pretty cool. You can buy that already made up, Mike?
Yeah. All of our Yaesu radios we've got set up to where either we're plugged in direct to battery, or if we take a mobile somewhere and want to swap vehicle or something, we've got Anderson power poles, and we've got the adapter that goes straight from Anderson to the Yaesu plug. HRO has them.
Well, that's definitely too cool. Good to know. Good information out there. Appreciate that. Anybody out there listening, this is one of the main things we do at Tech Tuesday. We'll pick something and expand on it, and we get a lot of information from all the listeners. Everybody out there, if this is the first time you've listened in, join back. We got a lot of good stuff. There is actually no limit to ham radio stuff out there. It's huge. The hobby is huge. So I don't think we only repeat some stuff in the summer when we have to. Anybody else out there? Any questions or comments? Please come back.
Hi, QA again.
Yes, go ahead, Kelly.
Well, in the business that I'm in, I decided that if I ever had to abandon my truck, I didn't want to abandon my radio as well. So I made up a wire that has some real tough, like they're giant alligator clips. So I could unplug the Anderson plug where my radio hits the wire that hangs out from underneath the dash, and take my radio and just clamp the alligator clamps onto anybody's battery, grab the mag mount off the roof, and the other end of my power cord, of course, has an Anderson plug on it. And then I made up, a Y that has Andersons on all three ends, so I could run two different things at once if I needed to. And then I made an adapter that goes from Anderson to the male side of a cigarette lighter, so you can plug you can plug right into a cigarette lighter port or a computer port, and go adapt to Anderson to that. And then I made one the other way that has the female side of the cigarette lighter to Anderson, so that you could, if you didn't have a cigarette lighter at the source, you could plug in from the battery to the adapter to the cigarette lighter and run one of those things that will charge up an HT or whatever off of your cigarette lighter. So I tried to cover my every direction there. Final, KI6IQA.
Well, I appreciate that, Kelly. Yeah, I think a little bit before you joined us, we were discussing that, and with the different adapters and modules and good stuff, if you're bugging out, taking your radio with you. But here we have a good example yourself of somebody who's done this. We were simply talking about it earlier, and this is something you put it into good use, which is great. That's fantastic. So appreciate you sharing that with us. And, yeah, you never know. You may have to leave the vehicle, take all your stuff with you, and you're going to be able to communicate. Fantastic. Anybody else out there? Anything else to add before we close the net? Mike, we'll send it back to you first.
Oh, nothing else to add, but great net tonight. A lot of information put out there, and yes, Anderson power poles are the way to go. Those things are fantastic. Okay, well, I guess we'll see everybody next week, and everybody have a great rest of the week. WB6CLZ 73.
Okay, Mike, glad you could join us. I know you were on vacation there for a bit, so glad to have you back. Anybody else with anything out there to add? Just come on back before we close the net. KF6Q.
K6YNW.
Yes, Chris, K6YNW, go ahead.
Yes, I think it might be a good idea in our leads to put a 30 amp and a 15 amp in series, and then they can just couple them off whichever works. K6YNW.
Good thought there. Anybody else with anything to add before we get close to closing the net here? All right, well, I think we've covered a lot of it. Of course, we always will repeat on some of these, go down some of these roads again. Do appreciate everybody out there joining in with us and adding information. That's what it's all about. That's what Tech Tuesday is about. Jim, stick around after that, please, just real quick. Anyway, good to have Clint join us there. Also, good information. So, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at 1900 hours and 52 minutes. Repeating the repeater to normal use, and once again, thanking everybody for joining us. Please join us again next Tuesday, conditions permitting, 1900 hours. This is KF6Q.